Hello and welcome back to The Cast List. This is your host, Alyssa Sines. Today we have an episode featuring two cast members from ACU's Cornerstone production of I and You. We talked to Josh Alexander and Marielle Ardila about their process and how working on the show was for them. So this episode is going to be interesting because we have our very own Josh Alexander.
Who is that?
He's your local producer for the cast list.
What? That's a weird thing to hear.
Yeah, it really is. Okay. I think also it's funny because like Josh has obviously already been here and Marielle has also just been here.
Yes.
Right?
Yeah.
For Mary Poppins.
Yes.
So what are we doing now, guys?
We're doing I and You.
Is that what we're doing?
Yes.
It is.
I don't know, that's so, what you were doing last night. I was very much mentally ill.
Yeah, I was doing a different show.
No,
I got my lines mixed
show.
Up. I'm sorry.
Homegirl was doing not the show.
So I and You by Laura Gunderson. Where are you guys right now? In rehearsal. In like the rehearsal process.
Oh, Wednesday, which is tomorrow, we start Wet Tech, which involves all the crazy sound effect.
Light cues.
Yeah, light cues.
What are some of the better things that you found during the rehearsal process?
I thought it was so funny that we would have like this crazy dynamic between me and Josh off stage because we are friends and we just mess with each other and we would say stupid things and get like mad at each other but not mad at each other and laugh about it. And then on stage, once we have a script that's basically the same thing, it would kind of die. Because we have, like, someone else's words in front of us. And so that was fun trying to go back to kind of trying to bridge how we are in real life versus how our characters are in the show and, like, find a happy medium and find a compromise and see that we are kind of just basically our characters in many ways.
So learning.
Yeah.
Through your characters, yes. Through just, like, acting through life. And because this is a collegiate production, that's the goal, right? Isn't that the goal?
Yeah, it's... It's something weird when you have a character that is very similar to you. Mm. So in one respect, it's really easy to think, well, what would they think? What would they do? But then to put that on stage and for it to work, and what I mean by work is make it look good to the audience. Because I mean, like, me and Anthony would, like, do something similar, but because we have to do it on stage and because it needs to, like... speak a certain way or show up a certain way to the audience, perhaps it's not quite the same motion. So that's been cool, is just a really, really deep exploration into characters that are similar to you, but not because you have to make them a certain way for stage. It's just so cool. And I think that's what acting is too. It's just like, there's so much there and it just doesn't look like there is until you do it. And then, because I know for like callbacks and stuff, and when we auditioned, me and Marielle went out there and we were just like, what? Like,
I know. It was more fun than it was stressful.
Yeah, and now to do it and to have all of these words, have, what is it, like 61, 2, 3, 60, 60, like 64 pages of words. It's incredible.
Yeah.
It's so much bigger than I thought it was gonna be, and that's really cool.
Off of that, like, just that sentence, the whole play is kind of bigger than you think it's gonna be. Like, I read the first two sections and the first half of the third and still wasn't ready for the very end. And when I finished the show, it is so beautiful. It's so beautiful. And just trying to keep that in mind while we're going through, like, some of the funny parts and some of the silly parts and jumping on the bed, just keep in mind, like, this meta... larger idea of like the beauty and intimacy that is this show. That's also kind of hard and challenging, but I think the rehearsals and running it and drilling it kind of blocking wise and moment wise, it has been really eye-opening to learn how to like keep that in mind, how to work through the small stuff but
small
keep
stuff.
In mind minutia, the big stuff,
minutia, detritus.
Yes.
Yeah. We're just bouncing off each other.
No, go.
Which is exactly what, you know, Adam cast is for. That's something that he mentioned.
Well,
but
talking about casting, how was the audition process?
Fun.
Yeah. Honestly, I wanted you to have a good audition because, like, I knew you wanted it.
I really wanted it. I'm sorry. I'm one of those people. Okay. I really wanted this show because I read this play over the summer. And we did scenes with it previously, like, you see things, but, like, I sat down and read it this summer, and I don't know how many times I read it before we auditioned. I think I read it 5 or 6 times before we auditioned for it. And I just cried at the end. I was just like, this is beautiful, Lauren Gunderson. What are you doing?
So we cannot, I'm going to just say this, we cannot say what the ending is.
We will not be saying.
One of their shows?
We are not saying what the ending is. If you don't see this show, go read the play. It's worth us not telling you.
But you should see the show.
If, I don't know if this is going to come out before. I don't know if this is going to come out before.
Oh.
But.
I hope you saw the show.
Yeah, I hope you saw the show. I really want to tell this story about the audition.
Yes.
Me and Marielle auditioned, so we went in, we read, and we did everything, and it felt great. We were just like it always is. I mean, we get each other, it seems like. And so Marielle leaves.
Yeah, and I wasn't the last girl there.
Can I allow to say this? Okay. So she leaves thinking that she's not going to get a callback.
I was like, bye, I'm going to dinner, bye.
Yeah. And so the callback list comes out while we're there, and her name is on it. And so... I don't know. I think this happened twice. So
I think maybe. I was actually doing laundry at this point, and you called me, and I was like, okay, round two. Let's do it. Round two.
So she was not expecting to get a callback, I guess. And so I was like, where are you? We got paired for callbacks, too, so I need you here. Please, hurry, please.
My roommate did the rest of my laundry, for the record. I was like, I gotta go, bye. Sorry.
This play is so meaty, and I do want to talk about a couple of things. Why do you think she chose to put two different races standing beside each other? That is a called for thing. It is mentioned in the script. It is mentioned beforehand. Why do you think that's so important?
I don't know. If I was the playwright, I would do that in as a tool to sort of emphasize how different their worlds are. Anthony plays sports and is heavily involved in his school, and he's liked by everybody, and Caroline is homebound and interacts with the world around her through a phone, and they're just two totally different people, and the fact that one is a boy and one is a girl, and one is one skin color and one is the other, I just think they're supposed to be opposites of each other in every way, so that it's more beautiful when they're the same.
I definitely agree with everything she just said, and I think the idea of race really lends itself to the idea of culture. Like she said, they're different in every way. And also the fact that they're in high school, I mean, that's just even more so. I mean, they're just in different cliques. I mean, that's what you would call it, right?
Yeah. Clique.
But the idea of culture as well, and I think that idea comes across a lot in this play, just like Anthony's into this specific kind of music, which means he's into all this other stuff that is really far removed from what Caroline is into when she plays like Great Balls of Fire and Elvis and all this other stuff, you know? And so I definitely agree with what she said. I think that they're supposed to be extremely far removed from each other, but it also shows that two people, even though they are on different sides of the world as far as who they are and what they're involved in and what they enjoy, they find something that brings them together. And Anthony makes a comment in the play. He says, people get along even if they don't agree on stuff. And I mean, that's... It's completely true, and that's even though it's a quick line, I hope that that message is something that comes through in this show.
Yeah,
and that's something that I think the world needs to hear nowadays too. It's like just because you don't agree on stuff doesn't mean you can't get along. You know, and nowadays that's huge in politics, and you know, with all the stuff going on with like these protests and things like that. So
yeah, we live in a world where this is a prevalent issue.
It absolutely is.
I also really like that they're from two very different places, I feel like, but they want to go to the same place. There's a part in the script where they're both talking about New York and how fun it would be to go there and how this big dream is so nice and surreal and how fun that would be. And they're both so different, but also want a lot of the same things. And I think that's really cool and very human, I think, also.
Yeah.
Human.
I know that Walt Whitman is mentioned a lot in this show.
Oh, is he?
Oh, is he?
I don't. Is that what's his name?
Walt Whitman. Oh my
God. The only name I get right every page.
So Walt Whitman is mentioned a lot in this show. How do you think that his poetry aids in the bigger metaphors that are seen in I and You. How did Lauren Gunderson do this?
He's fearless. I mean, Caroline says that, and it's the truth. Walt, Leaves of Grass, Walt did it himself. He wrote it himself. He published it himself without anyone's permission, without anyone's like, yeah, go do that. That's a great idea, buddy. He like did this, and he wrote what he wanted, and he wrote what he felt. Mm-hmm. And he talks about yawping, and we say that in the show.
Barbaric yawp.
Our barbaric yawp on from the roofs of the world. And it's just this idea that, it's so huge. He's just shouting this. He's just shouting all of these things to people, to America, to and he has all of these themes like nature and humanity and the nation itself and love and hate and death and life and all this stuff. And I just, it's like the bridge, I think, between Anthony and Caroline. I mean, obviously it is, because it's why they are brought together. But his poetry specifically, I think, aids, because his words are not, sometimes they don't sound poetic. Mm-hmm. Sometimes they're just, dying is weird. Mm-hmm. And that's what it is. Mm-hmm. And then they get talking about what death means to both of them.
Find me under your boots.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Like making himself a part of nature, making himself a ghost in a way.
Leaves of Grass.
Like, that's so cool. Yeah. I'm rambling.
No. Also, I think Walt Whitman's work, and we were talking about this earlier with the paper interview, is definitely a bridge between new and old. So there's a line in the show where Caroline, who is very technologically savvy, she is like very much into Facebook and Instagram, and she connects with the world, like I said, through her phone. It's her lifeline, to quote, because she's homebound. And so, but she loves Elvis, and Anthony makes fun of her, and he's like, you love Elvis? And she's like, shut up, it's vintage. So she loves old things, but also new things. And so later on, when we find out that Walt Whitman only wrote one book ever, and it was just, he just kept adding to it, Caroline's like, what do you mean? Like, why didn't you just write new books? And Anthony says they were new and old. And I think Lauren Gunderson masterfully incorporated new and old into this with those lines, but also with I bequeath myself to Grove and Walt Whitman's words with the likes and the ums in all of the lines that we speak. So it's modern and old at the same time. If that made any sense.
It did. Yeah, you're having these young kids sit in a room talking about this very old poet. But in both ways, they're very much rebels of themselves and the society that they're surrounded by.
Yes.
So that's an interesting kind of meta thing. What part of your character do you connect most with? If you had to pick one thing that you were like, I get this.
The humor.
Yeah.
Because when crap is bad, like, when life kind of sucks and you don't really want to wake up in the morning and, like, drag yourself through another day, it's humor that gets you through it. And it's finding the small stuff that makes you happy and capitalizing on that and trying to just, like, forget or make fun of the worst stuff because that's what's going to get you through it. And I totally get it when she makes jokes about her sickness and like it's like her pet and I get it. I totally get it. Mm-hmm. It makes it easier.
Mm-hmm. I definitely feel a lot of connection to the idea of Anthony finding solace in Walt Whitman's work. I know I did that a lot. When I was younger, I connect to that idea that he wants real connection with a person who doesn't look at him as just like an athlete or something to, I don't know, help them move forward, just yeah. Someone to be a person with him.
They're not going to gain anything.
Yeah, they're not going to gain anything from him. Thank you. I connect to that idea with him a lot and... Because I've lived through that myself. Mm-hmm. Just that idea that you just want someone to see you for who you are. And you don't have to put on face. You don't have to be anything for anybody. You can just say, I think this is really cool. Can we talk about it?
Yeah.
Can you just... Because you seem you're real with yourself, and I need help being that, because I don't know what that means.
Yeah.
So, I know that was long-winded, but no, I got to the point, so.
No, don't apologize at all. So, what do you want the audience to get out of this,
specifically? Become an organ donor, and...
Get that little heart on your license.
Do you want them to feel inspired? Do you want them to... I mean...
I think I would want partially. I mean, there are many, many things I would hope that you would get from this performance, but I think, or from the show. But one of the most important things to me is that every encounter that you have, however brief, every connection that you make in life is important and is a gift. And even if it's just a couple hours on a school night, or if it's a lifetime with something, it's just important. Mm-hmm. And the small stuff is important. We never know how much time we have, so really, really appreciate the details and the big stuff, but don't forget the details.
Perfect. Perfect. If you want to answer, Josh, you can. If you don't, that's cool.
I'll say a couple of things, but one is the power of seeing things. Caroline talks about that with her photography in the show. And seeing things can be a picture. It can be reading something. It can be anything. There's a power in seeing because, like Caroline says, you cannot unsee. Memory is such a powerful tool for us. And Walt Whitman says something in his prologue. He talks about loving people, loving things, taking, like, being fearless. Again, that idea, don't take off your hat to anything. Any man or number of men, read and question what you've been taught, you know, but be a person and be real with people, walk with people, talk with people, mm-hmm. devote yourself to people and what you do, but never lose that idea of connection, because no matter how far removed you are from another person's being, like mm-hmm. with Anthony and Caroline, just completely opposite ends of the spectrum, people get along even if they don't agree on stuff.
Yeah.
And you can find something to make a connection with a person. And whether you connect with Walt Whitman, with jazz music, with photography, with light up turtles or cats with mm-hmm. hats, whatever that is, find connection in life. I think that's really, really important. Mm-hmm.
You guys are the best. Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you for coming. Alyssa Sines. Now. That was our second episode. Thank you so much for listening in. I want to thank Josh Alexander for being our producer and our interviewee. Marielle Ardila for also being our interviewee. And all the ACU faculty for listening to this podcast and improving it so we can get it out to the masses. We are now on iTunes and SoundCloud, so listen when you can. My name is Alyssa Sines, and it's only going to get better from here.